Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Common Anomaly Podcast. I'm your host, Stuart James. Joining me today is Clayton James. On today's episode, the howl of the dire wolf and visits from Honey Pete. How's it going, Clayton?
Good. Happy to be back.
Excellent, excellent. We have a really good episode today. We have an interview with Shelby Wilson, but we're just going to cover a few other things first. First of all, I just want to apologize to the audience. I'm under the weather. And you as well, you have to share this tiny space with me. So I'm sorry, whatever I've got, you're probably about to get it.
Oh.
So make sure you vitamin up. But I'm sorry if I sound a little froggy and I might have to lean away to cough into my arm here once or twice through the show. Oh, and we've got a shout out too, don't we?
Yeah.
So we've been playing around with some merch towards the end of last season. We haven't really fleshed it out. We tried some t-shirts, those didn't really work out, but we've got these cool hats, these embroidered patches that you can put on Velcro, and those are pretty cool, hey?
I like them.
Yeah, and we've handed out to a couple friends of the show, and you've got one, I've got one, I give one to Iam, but we've got one left over because we just kind of were sampling different stuff, right? And we thought about maybe we'll do a contest, but I think we've got a fan in mind that's just kind of been a really big supporter of the show since the very beginning. And I mean, we've got lots of close friends and family that support the show, but this person in particular is really kind of latched onto the show and is really enjoying it and helping us promote it to her friends.
I think she's our number one fan.
Our number one fan, yeah. So, Jez Winder, we're gonna get you a hat. So, congratulations. I hope you like it. Please wear it and tell all your friends, which I know you've already been doing. So, thank you very much for that support. But yeah, we'll just, that's a freebie. I don't think we've got enough following to do contests yet. And plus our luck, it would be like that one guy in Romania who's listening that would win the contest.
Yeah, we'll have to go half and half on the shipping.
Yeah. So yeah, Jez Winder, congratulations. And thanks so much for supporting the show. Let's skip the Amazon junk. Let's go right into direwolves. So earlier this week, there was a huge story that dropped in the news, and I just want to do like maybe 10 minutes to cover this because it was kind of interesting. Did you see this story?
Yeah, I was reading all about it this week. The direwolf, they've used some Jurassic Park-like technology to unextinct the direwolf.
Unextinct. They're using the word de-extinct, which I think that's just everyone's saying that because that's what came out in the press pack, I think. I am not a fan of that term. I think they really got to find a better term. But yeah, this is kind of exciting stuff. The direwolf is a sub-genus species. I don't know how to classify those sorts of things of wolf that hasn't been around for some 13,000 years. And now they're back?
Yeah, it's like a gray wolf, but like 50% bigger.
Yeah, bigger, more muscular, and kind of like a shorter snout, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
And so this was accomplished by a company, Colossal Biotech.
Yeah.
So immediately I looked at this because these stories are kind of cool. These are the same people that are trying to bring back the woolly mammoth as well as the dodo. I forget what else, but this is basically the purpose of this company. But really, we have a massive divide happening in the world about this announcement. Some people saying it's a massive exaggeration and other people just really celebrating the fact that this accomplishment that we've brought back these wolves into the world. What do you think about that? Or what do you know about that?
What I think about it, I was immediately thinking back to your talk about Madame Blavatsky and her...
Blavatsky.
Yes. Her talking, her prophesizing back in the 1800s about human beings monkeying with nature. I wonder about the ethics of resurrecting an animal that's been extinct for tens of thousands of years. What kind of place would it have in the world now other than in captivity? You can't just release it into the wild. It would ruin the ecosystem.
Well, I believe the plan is for reintroduction or rewilding of these creatures to improve the ecosystem.
Yeah, but we've tried that before. Like in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
In Yellowstone.
Wasn't it a massive success?
No.
Didn't the reintroduction of wolves help the entire...
Reintroducing the wolves, because what they originally did is they got rid of the wolves in Yellowstone. Because they were preying on, the other herbivore animals that lived in Yellowstone. They said, well, let's get rid of the wolves of Yellowstone. And what happened is all these prey species, you know, deer and things of the like, basically gorged themselves on all the vegetation because there was no predator species to hunt them. And huge swaths of Yellowstone became barren out of our attempt to improve the ecosystem. Yes,
to rebalance it. And we then, did the exact opposite.
Yeah, and then we had to do a U-turn on that, and we had to, there was this huge project later to reintroduce wolves to Yellowstone. Things only improved when we undid our original monkeying with the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. I see. That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, the first thing that popped in my head was the ethical question. Natural systems are extremely complex. We don't exactly know what we're doing, and we can't really predict all the knock-on effects of something like reintroducing a species that's been gone for tens of thousands of years. I think it's a little reckless, if you ask me, but these people seem quite confident in what they're doing. I do want to address just really quickly the skepticism of it, which I feel like is very much rooted. I feel like there is a bit of sensationalism going on here. These aren't really dire wolves.
No, they're hybrids.
Yeah, they've taken genetic material, analyzed it, and basically used CRISPR to make some alterations to gray wolf DNA. And they've also spliced in some dog DNA in there as well to create a cohesive kind of genetic strain with some alterations which they hoped would mimic the characteristics of a dire wolf. So the size, you know, color of the fur and all those characteristics to be something close to resembling a dire wolf, but it's not literally a recreation.
Functionally and in appearance, it's a dire wolf, but there's no direct lineage back to a living dire wolf.
Of course not. Aside from the fact that you're already using species that are closely connected.
Yeah.
So in that case, you could make the argument that close is close enough. But again, I question the motivation. I mean, it sounds very altruistic, but I wonder why. What's the point of going so far back in time and just throwing these new species? It feels more like we're going to do it because we can, and here's some fluffy motivation we can put behind it to make it seem altruistic. That's my hot take on it.
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of species that have gone extinct or on the verge of extinction because of us, because of humans. I think a great use of this technology would be, I mean, not resurrecting dire wolves, but what about the red wolf? The red wolf, which has been driven to near extinction by human beings. I think there's only like a dozen of them left in the wild. They're, you know, inches away from extinction because of us.
Yeah.
You know, I think the best ethical use of this technology would be saving species like that, not the mammoth, not the direwolf, who had their time.
Yeah, and are so long gone from our ecological system.
Completely disconnected from our ecosystem. But as for the why, did you know that this project received massive funding from the CIA?
I did not know that. No.
Susie actually pointed that out to me. She was reading on it, so I immediately followed up with that.
So this company, Colossal Biotech, they get their funding from the CIA?
They get funding from numerous sources, obviously, but the CIA dumped a massive amount of money into this project. Why?
Yes, why would the CIA be interested in animal conservation? Or is that their interest at all?
You know, my immediate thought was I pictured someone at the CIA.
Humanzees?
In an office.
Is this where we're going?
Just someone in an office at the CIA saying, I just want some frickin' sharks with some frickin' laser beams attached to their heads. But Humanzees, it's interesting. It made me think of that episode of Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Conspiracy Theory?
Yeah, just once or twice. It was fun just because Jesse's such a character.
Yeah, he was doing this episode on, you know, the U.S. military creating like super soldier hybrids. And he was talking to this guy who was describing these, human chimpanzee hybrid super soldiers that the government was secretly trying to create. And he was saying, "Are you saying one of these humanzees could defeat me? The governor? A fighter? A Navy SEAL?" The guy's like, "Oh, yeah, definitely."
Oh, well, now that I think about it, you know, a dire wolf would probably be a pretty dangerous thing in, say, like, the Russian taiga.
I don't think they're very trainable, though. They're pretty averse to
any
humans.
Any doggo is trainable. Come on.
But what would be... I don't think the CIA was necessarily interested in dire wolves specifically.
Probably not.
But they could probably do some pretty colorful things with the underlying technology.
Yeah. Just bioweapons, just germs.
One theory that came up as I was looking into this was basically geopolitical leverage. You know, I was saying you couldn't reintroduce a species that's been extinct for tens of thousands of years without it completely throwing off the balance of the whole ecosystem. But what if you were to intentionally do that on an adversary's territory?
Hmm.
You know,
to create ecological disruption.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It seems like an odd way to go about it, but that's an idea.
I mean, I'm sure they'll take whatever they can get in terms of options for ways to attack.
And we know the intelligence infrastructure throws money at all kinds of different directions. I can see why it'd be interesting, but that's an interesting connection. I didn't know about that one.
But, you know, there's also the angle, like you said, like genetically modified super animals. Not necessarily dire wolves, but I'm sure they could create something with the underlying technology.
Well,
sharks with laser beams on their heads.
It's a proof of concept, right?
Yeah.
It's a proof of concept. Then you can create other kind of, maybe the end intent is actually to modify human beings and augment human beings.
Yeah, super soldiers.
Super soldiers, yeah.
Yeah. So much of, you know, military stuff is going towards robotics now. You know, they've got this, you know, robot dog with machine guns mounted on it.
Yeah, or drones.
That they'll send into battle. But you think one of those robot dogs probably costs a few million dollars to manufacture.
Yeah.
And it gets just taken out by, you know, an improvised explosive device, and it's gone. But think, if you've got the technology there and you've bred this species, let's say you breed this very, very strong, very muscular, very fast, very aggressive animal, like, that's trainable, and you could train it to fulfill the same function.
It's like Saruman's orcs in The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, scary stuff. I feel like this went down a really crazy rabbit hole.
Very quickly.
I just wanted to talk about cute doggos.
They are adorable.
Yeah, you watched the video?
They are adorable.
They do look very sweet. Yeah, they do look very sweet.
But they're going to grow to be very big.
Yeah, it does look like they'll be quite big. So, interesting story to follow. I'm curious to see where it goes. But yeah, maybe the announcement, a bit sensationalized. I wonder, are they publicly traded? I wonder if it was all just to boost their stock position.
I'm not sure. I think everything around this would be worth going into deeper on, like, a full-length episode at some point.
Yeah, I feel like this is kind of the tip of a much larger iceberg that maybe we should dig into on another episode.
But it was interesting to know that the CIA had its hooks in this.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA, I wonder what they get up to. That's worth an episode. Just an episode on the CIA.
Oh, yeah, that's a can of worms, for sure. Yeah. Okay, all right, so why don't we get... That's enough of that. We've figured out that's got to be a whole other episode. Every time we try to do a 5-minute topic, it turns into a snowball that gets out of control.
We'll add it to the list.
Yeah, we'll add it to the list. So I wanna get now transition into our main story for this episode. So while you were away riding horses in Montana or whatever you're doing, having fun a couple weeks ago, I was up here working. And so I'd been trying to connect with Shelby Wilson to do an interview. Basically, since starting the show, she's, and I'll just want to give her a proper introduction because I didn't do it in the interview. So Shelby works with IAM on film production, and uh, she's She's a local Calgarian, and she's got a band named Wilson Avenue, and they've actually got a single out called Coming Home,
which cool.
I'll link to her website or the band's website in the show notes, so you can look it up, have a listen to the song. It's really quite good. And so when I started doing the podcast, Iam had mentioned me, oh, you should talk to Shelby. She's got this really interesting story of kind of some poltergeist activity, encounters with ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a real life Sixth Sense story where she sees ghosts that kind of follow her around in her life, and it's kind of caused some disruptions in her life.
I'll bet.
Yeah, and it sounded like a really cool story. And so we kind of went back and forth through Iam for a couple months trying to arrange something. It never happened because, you know, they're working in set deck on film productions. I believe they met working on The Last of Us.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And they've worked together on a couple projects. And Shelby's right now working on Billy the Kid production. And it's just, I've seen the schedule Iam gets on when you're on film production. It's like 14 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Yeah.
It's grueling. So it's hard to have a life outside of that. And then you might go months without any work just because production stops or it's between seasons or whatever. So it's a very feast or famine kind of industry. So the stars just kind of finally aligned while you were away. And I was like, this is great. We can meet up, do the interview, and then we can incorporate that into the second season. So yeah, so that's Shelby Wilson. So that's Shelby Wilson in a nutshell. And yeah, why don't we just dive into the interview, because it's a lot of fun.
All right.
Good evening and welcome everybody to the Common Anomaly Podcast. I'm your host, Stuart James. Joining me today, we have a special guest, Shelby Wilson. Shelby, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
No problem.
To be here.
Welcome, welcome. Oh, somebody just dropped something upstairs. That's okay. I'm sure she's fine. Okay, so you're joining us today because you're an experiencer.
I am.
So just in a nutshell, tell me about your experience.
Oh, gosh, in a nutshell.
Yeah, start with a nutshell. We'll start with a tiny package, okay. And then we'll go into a lot of detail.
Okay, well, in a nutshell, every now and again, I will have somebody standing over my bed, and when I wake up, he's there, and at first I thought I was dreaming, but now I know that I'm awake because I'll get up and I'll go to the bathroom and I'll walk right through him. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So like a shadow person or?
I mean, I have no idea kind of what it is, who he is, what the situation is, but it's a man and he does wear a bowler hat, which I've kind of dove in before. And I know that's a thing.
Yeah.
I just don't know what it means or who he is. But yeah, I mean, I guess he's shadowy. I don't know what his face looks like, but I know he's there.
Okay. And so how did this begin? I mentioned something about a cruise ship.
Yes. Yeah. So I used to work on cruise ships. I was a singer in the band. I was lucky enough to have my own room, which not everybody on the cruise ships get. Only singers and like the officers really get our own room. And so it was a luxury, but also it was kind of scary when I was like by myself, and we have no windows in our room. So it is like pitch black. When you turn your light off, it's like dark as death in there. And I just remember one night, or I would take a lot of naps in the day too, so it could have been a nap, but I woke up and I can't remember if there was a little bit of light shining. It must have been, because they don't turn off the hall lights in the, obviously for safety reasons, in the room. So there was just a little like bit of light shining under the door, and I remember waking up and seeing this woman in my room, and I was panicked and I couldn't move. So I later kind of chalked it up to sleep paralysis, but it was a lady. She had, all I remember really is she had a patterned kind of 50s style dress. Like, it's so weird, but I just remember her waistline being very 50s snatched. And she was just there in my room, and it was really scary. That was like very terrifying, but I couldn't move and I couldn't get the phone off of the wall. And then I can't remember exactly how I got out of it, but I remember turning on the light and her being gone. But that was the first time I had ever opened my eyes in the night or in the nap and saw somebody
Wow.
there.
Yeah, that's giving me goosebumps a little
Yeah,
bit. That's
it was
scary.
so
So
scary.
how long ago was this?
That was in 2018.
2018. And was that your first experience?
That was my, well, yeah, no, I guess not. Like, that's the thing with these sort of stories. It's like, then you start to like walk it back, and I've had other people kind of ask me, like, have you ever seen anything like that before? And it's like, my instinct is to say no. But then I think about it back when I was a little kid, and I did used to see somebody in our house growing up. So I'm like, yes, I have, but not for so long that it's almost, those memories are so far away,
Right.
But I feel like I've had other, and again, I didn't know, especially the ship one. It really felt like a sleep paralysis kind of a thing. So I'm like, it's hard to say paranormal, but then when I start thinking about everything else that has happened, it starts to click in. So
Right.
I have had other experiences.
Okay. Well, that's the funny thing about doing the show is people don't talk about this sort of thing
Yeah.
until you kind of open a door.
Yes.
And I find all the time, anytime I'm talking to someone saying, oh, I'm doing this podcast now, all of a
Right.
sudden everyone has a story,
Yeah.
right? Even people like you just said will say, oh, no, nothing's ever happened to me. And
Right.
they think for a moment and they go, actually, now that I think about it,
But
this
maybe.
one weird thing
Yeah.
happened, you know? So that's interesting. So it sounds like if your experiences are going back kind of way back into childhood now,
Yeah.
do you consider yourself a sensitive person or?
I would say yes. Again, it was like something that I never, like, I always believed in ghosts and the paranormal and other things. Like, I was always open to it. My mom was as well, and she, I would say, was sensitive to it as well. But it was never like I also had that rational brain of like, okay, we can kind, well, the door was open, so the breeze could have done that, or the, like trying to not second guess myself, but be as logical as possible about the instances that happen. But there are certain things that just, you can feel it, and it feels like it's not just the wind, or it's not just a dream or whatever. So yeah, I would say I am
Absolutely. Yeah.
sensitive. Yeah.
Okay. Just by chance, do you happen to recall the name of the ship?
It was Carnival Cruise. Oh gosh, was it this? It was the Sensation.
The Sensation.
The
Okay.
Sensation.
I'll have to look it up. I was
Yeah.
trying to do some research
Okay.
earlier this weekend in
Yeah.
preparation. Turns out every bloody ship is
Oh yeah. Oh
haunted.
yeah. So many
Which
people
I
die.
guess makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of famous ones out there. We won't get into that. But yeah, it seems like it's a common thing
It is. Yeah,
is
it is.
hauntings. And so the other kind of tidbit that got me really interested that I mentioned when she was telling me about your encounter is that you believe maybe you picked up a hitchhiker. So is it this woman? Did this woman that you saw in your room, is she the one that followed you home, or what happened there?
I think I have seen her before, but the main person that I see, I didn't see him on the ship. So if I picked her up, it would have been, or if I picked somebody up, it would have been her. And I think I have seen her before, because there was a time where I would see him. He has a name because I was so terrified of him. So we call him Honey Pete.
Honey Pete.
Honey
Okay.
Pete. My mom was just like, you know what? Like, because it was just really, sorry, can I swear?
Yeah,
Fucking up my life. Because
yeah.
I was just so scared every night. It was
Right.
brutal.
Yeah.
And so we had a little family meeting, and my mom was just like, we just have to call him something nice, and
Right.
then it won't be as scary. You
Right.
know, it's like the looming black figure in the corner is scary, but if it's Honey Pete, it's not so scary. It's just him. So he is the one that I've seen consistently. But there was one night where I saw a group of people, and I believe the lady from the ship was also there that night. So I don't know if she hitchhiked with me or not, but I do believe I've seen her more than once.
So how long was your tour on the ship?
I was on there for 8 months.
8 months. And was that the one and only
That was the one and only
instance?
time I saw her. Yeah.
Okay. And then it just seemed like the activity followed you home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so,
And
yeah.
it's been going on ever since. So this is ongoing still today.
Yeah. I
Okay.
had, so we moved out of the house, and again, like my rational brain was like, did we have mold? Did we, what was going on in that house? Like, what was the situation? But just unfortunately, a month ago in our new place that we moved to, I woke up one night and there was somebody in our room again. And I couldn't tell if it was Honey Pete or not. I didn't know who it was, and it wasn't scary. Again, I think after you see people in your room often, it's not as scary as it used to be. So it
Right.
wasn't a scary feeling, which was nice. And I just got up and went to the bathroom, came back, and they were gone. But it's not as consistent as it was in the old house,
Okay.
because that was like almost every night,
Wow.
which was
So
brutal.
now it still happens, but it seems like it's kind of normalized. It's not, you're not as fearful of it anymore. It sounds very much like a medium would describe.
Really?
Yeah. Right? So
Right.
maybe you are
Oh,
sensitive.
God.
Maybe
Yeah.
you
But leave me alone now.
Yeah,
If you're around, please let me sleep.
well, so has there been any other aspects to the activity other than just seeing them appear to you in your room at night? Has there been footsteps, voices, anything like that occurred?
No, thank goodness, because I think that like the thing that is comforting is that they just stand there. They're not moving. They're not trying to come at me. They're not trying to come at Ben, my fiance. There was one, like when I was talking about that group of people, the one kind of creepy thing was Honey Pete always used to just stand like at the bottom of our bed, or maybe a little bit more towards my side of the bed. But that one night when I saw them all, they were all on Ben's side of the bed, like leaning over him. And that was really scary. That was like, oh God, what's happening now? What is this now? But that was like the one thing that they did differently that was kind of freaky.
Has Ben had any experiences? Has he seen them or
No, but he's experienced me experiencing them. Like at first, when I was really scared of them, I would try to wake him up and I'd be screaming, being like, Ben, 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 somebody's in the room. And he would wake up and throw the light on and get out of bed and look around. And of course, he wouldn't see them. And of course, when the light went on, they were gone. But he definitely, I don't think he's a believer, but he also, if you ask him, he's like, ah, pfft. I don't know what it was. I don't know what she sees, but she sees something. So yeah, he doesn't see them. And I don't just knowing him, I just don't think he's like open to that. Like I don't think he's had any experiences. Actually, that's not true. He had one weird encounter way back when he was young, and he was working at the Lanark Mill Hotel in where is it? New Lanark, Scotland. And that hotel is like notoriously haunted. And he had a weird experience with somebody whistling in the basement, which is a really creepy good story. But other than that, he hasn't. It's not a day to day like it is with me sometimes.
Okay. Well, it definitely makes sense. Certain locations where you do kind of hear where places that have a lot of history where things might congregate. You had a recent experience, perhaps at Heritage Park, which I used to work at Heritage
Oh,
Park.
did you really?
So I'm guessing the Prince House.
Yes, I
Yeah,
was.
everyone talks about the Prince
I
House.
know. And that was the thing. I was almost like, oh, it's so cliche to have an experience at the Prince House because, it's like the most haunted place ever. That's true. But it's very notoriously haunted. But yeah, I was standing over. I can't talk. I don't know how much I can talk about like what we were doing there, and the
Why
like.
were you up to no good? What was going on?
No,
Did you break in late at night or something?
no. I wish though. No, we were just filming there, and I can't say too much about like
Ah,
the.
gotcha. It's
You know what I
production
mean?
related.
Yes, production related stuff. But we kept a few pieces that was original to the Prince House, and then the rest was professionally moved out before we took that location. And one of the pieces that was left, I was just kind of hovering over, adjusting some flowers or doing some little minor adjustments. And something or somebody, I thought it was one of the crew members, tugged on my hood and pulled me like whoop, like right back. And I immediately like looked at our locations PA and I was like, did you just tug on my hood? But he was like, I was looking at him the whole time it was happening, and he was, 10 feet in front of me. So obviously he was like, no. I was like, who was just in here? Who was in here? And he said, oh, well, Tom's around the kitchen, so maybe go ask him. So I ran over to the kitchen, which is down the hall and around the back or whatever. And I was like, did you pull on my hood? Just like, no, I would never do that to you. Like,
Was there
what?
anything behind you?
No,
Anything I could
nothing.
have
No.
snagged on? Or
That's what I, of course, thought immediately. And then, of course, when you're in a place full of antiques, you're like, oh my God, what am I attached to? Am I going to pull a $10,000 clock off the wall or something? So, of course, I immediately like looked behind me. There was not. It's just the open room behind me. So it was nothing behind me because that was my first guess. And then I asked Tom, and he said, oh no, guys, he's notorious for doing that. Like, that's a joke he always plays on people, so he'll tug on their hood or whatever. So I was like, aha, that's who it must have been. So I ran out the front door and I was like looking for him, and then he was at our kit truck, which was parked like down the block. And I ran over and I was like, did you pull my hood? He was like, what? No, I would never, again, I would never pull your hood. Like, you're not the person I would make that joke with.
Yeah, it seems like kind of an odd prank to
Yeah,
just like
exactly.
yank,
Yeah,
right?
yank on me. And he was also like, a block away. So he was very, very confused. So yeah, that was my most recent experience. And it was actually really creepy, and I definitely freaked out the locations guy because he has to stay. Since we're out, we're out. We go home, but he's got to stay with the location for a while. So it's like, oh, he's probably scared now.
Okay, so it sounds like, I mean, that's a little more interactive than
That
your
was
other
very
experiences.
interactive. Yeah.
But maybe if you're a little sensitive and you're in a location that maybe has a lot of history and there's other entities around,
Yeah.
it's maybe you're open to more interaction than the average person.
Yeah.
So being kind of an experiencer for such a long time, have you ever looked into this at all? Have you ever tried to research what's going on or try and remedy it in any way? I mean, I think the strategy of naming it and
Yeah.
naming it something kind of lighthearted and friendly is probably a good strategy. But have you done any kind of looking into what you could do to remedy this? I mean, do you want to remedy it?
I
Maybe talk
mean,
about that.
yes, in a sense. I think honestly, I'm so scared that it's gonna be something bad, if that makes sense. Like, that's probably my biggest fear, is having like a bad ghost or a bad whatever, a demon or something. I don't even know enough about these things to like know what the bad ones are called, but I'm just so terrified that something like that would latch on to me or be in a house. Like, to live in a haunted house is the scariest idea to me. But then I also, wake up and see people in my room, and that's not too bad. So I feel like I haven't done research because as soon as you type in like man with bowler hat standing over your bed, it's never
No,
good.
it's never good.
So I'm like, I just like don't want to be more scared than I already am. But if I could, learn more, I'd be open to it. And we had, this is so random, but me and my fiance, he's from Scotland, and we met on the cruise ship. He was the drummer in the band that I was singing
Okay,
in.
cool.
And so we did a last contract together. While we were there, we were applying for a working holiday visa, and he got it, which was exciting. So he lived here for 2 years after the ship. And then we were applying for his permanent residency because we were like, all right, we're gonna do this. Let's keep the dream alive. So we hired a lawyer, an immigration lawyer, to help us out because the process is a nightmare. And I think it was our first meeting with her in person. She wanted to do like a little interview with us about just who we are, because basically her job is to, I can't even remember, like with the immigration officers, her job is to plead our case as a couple and basically be like, this is a real couple. They really love each other. They're after the right things and all that kind of stuff. So she's like, I want to be able to know who you guys both are and know your relationship like well enough that when I get in front of this officer or whatever, or send the email or whatever she does, No idea actually how that all worked out, but it did. I want to be able to,
Advocate for
yeah,
you, yeah.
advocate and have those details and have those funny, small, real couple things. So anyway, she was interviewing us and was like, okay, so what's something, what's a quirk? What's a thing? What's something funny? Or, who snores? Who's the snorer? Who's the this? And I was like, well, neither of us snore, but he clacks his teeth. Like he'll like I'm gonna do it for you right now in the mic because this is what I listen to every night. He'll go like this
Oh,
all night long.
interesting.
It's
That's
brutal.
an odd habit.
It is
Yeah.
an odd and jarring habit. So he has a night guard now, thank God. But so anyway, so I was like, well, no snoring, but he clacks his teeth. And then
Right.
he says to her, he's like, yeah, well, at least I don't see dead people in my sleep. And she was kind of like,
A toss-up.
yeah, at
I
least
mean, they're
they,
quiet dead people, but
yeah, exactly. At least they don't
you
clack their teeth.
know.
Like, well, at least we got a win over there. And she just stopped the interview right away. And she was like, I'm sorry, what? And then, of course, I'm like, oh, great. Like, now I gotta get into this. It's a thing. And oh my God, she's gonna think we're crazy or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she goes, all right, this is really weird, but when I'm not a lawyer, I'm a Reiki master,
Oh.
which I don't even know what that is. I still don't. Again, I think I'm like averse to like learning things about this situation because I
Yeah.
just don't want to know more. But she's like, I'm a Reiki master, and that,
Lawyer slash Reiki master.
hey, yeah,
That's a new one.
that is a new
Yeah.
one. And she was like, I'm just gonna put a pin in this because that's very interesting, and I think I might be able to like try to shed some light on this.
Right.
And then I was like, oh my God, okay. So then we did this thing, and we closed our eyes, and we held hands, and we did this thing. And she kind of like walked us. I can't even really recall exactly the steps of it. She kind of what she gathered and what she felt was like. And because it was happening right then, that was like smack dab in the middle of like the most that I was seeing them and him and all that stuff. So it was very fresh. And she said, I think that this is a really stressful time for you. I think you're under a lot of stress. And I think that these people are, what she said was, my ancestors coming to watch over me at night during this period. So that was interesting. And of course, like my mom's adopted, so we really don't know anything at all about her side of the family. So I just like my ancestors, I don't even know who my grandparents are on that side. So that was never a thought in my brain. And I was just what I really wanted after I found out she was a Reiki master, which again, I don't know what she does exactly, like what their, thing
So,
is.
did she like provide you with any credentials of being a Reiki master?
Yes,
What,
there's my
or is she
card.
like self-styled cereal box
I
Reiki
have no
master?
idea,
Or
but
is
I
this
mean,
the one
she
and
was.
only treatment, or was there
Yeah.
follow-up treatments or
No, that
anything?
was the one and
No.
only. It was a one and done situation, but she did give me good advice and it did work. What she said was, you need to, well, basically she's like, do you feel comforted by them being there? I'm like, no. Like
Yeah.
it's scary still. And I was like, I just want to know, and whether you can provide this information or not, I just want to know if they're good or bad. Like I just like I think that they're good because my instinct when I'm wait, like, yeah, it's jarring that I see them, but I'm not scared of
You don't feel
them.
threatened
No,
to,
and I'll just get
yeah.
up and go pee and walk right through them and then come back and they'll be gone and it's no big deal kind of a thing. So my inclination was like, I'm not scared of them, but I was like, God, if it's a freaking demon or something, tell me and
Yeah.
then I'll go and I don't know, I'll move or I'll get up saging or something, which again, I don't know if that's right or if that's a real thing that happens, I don't know, but she seemed to think that it was good and that they were just there to support and they were there because I was under a lot of stress and they wanted to help. But she said, like, obviously it's annoying to see them and it's scary and jarring and it's weird. She said you should, when you see them, you should say thank you for, I can't remember, this is not verbatim, but like thank you for being here. I appreciate you protecting me, but I don't need you anymore. And she's like, just say that to them when you see them, and they should get the hint and leave you alone. And I did that, and it worked. And I didn't see them for a long time. Like I hadn't
Wow.
seen them since like until like a month ago when I saw the person in my room in the new house. So
Yeah.
whatever it was, it worked. So
Oh, excellent. That's
yes.
really cool. No, and that lines up with, from what I understand, and I am by no means a Reiki master
Okay.
or any sort of expert,
Yeah.
but I have kind of followed this sort of story for a long time.
Right.
And a lot of what you're saying does kind of line up
Mm.
with other accounts and other things I've heard over
Okay.
time. I knew a guy way back when I was still in college, so a long time ago. He was a, he didn't describe himself as a medium, but he's someone who just said he was very sensitive
Right.
and saw entities and
Mm.
spirits very much the same way, but he could see them all the time.
Oh, God.
And he said, and this lines up with other accounts and research I've done, is that most people have a group of anywhere 3 to 5, up to a dozen entities that are basically attached to them
Oh, God.
or follow them around everywhere. And yeah, a lot of the times it is ancestors,
Okay.
and a lot of the time it's people that maybe just aren't aware of the fact that they've died.
Oh.
If they've died suddenly, or, and very much in the Western world, death has become very taboo, and we don't psychologically prepare for death in the same way.
Right.
It's not like we're live in a very atheistic, secular culture now,
Right.
and so we don't have the same traditions that maybe we would have a couple hundred years ago around preparing yourself for death and the level of ritual in terms of guiding people on that tradition,
Right.
or on that transition rather. And so sometimes people die and they're confused about it. They may think that they're still alive, and they kind of just fall into habits, and they might
Right.
gravitate towards people that are open or seem familiar to them, and they just kind of hitchhike. Yeah, they kind of
They like
latch on
that.
and they go along for the ride, and they're not possessing you.
Right.
Some of them might influence you in some kind of way, but a lot of them are just kind of trying to find their way
Right.
and just gravitate to something that feels familiar or good.
Right.
And definitely, if someone's sensitive, or heightened stress is a big thing as well, where you'll see kind of paranormal activity or poltergeist activity happening, it's usually around people that have suffered trauma or are in heightened states of emotion, that sort of thing. But yeah, there's this potential, I guess, that we all have a little group of spirits or souls or entities that come along throughout our entire lives. And yeah, very much what I've heard in terms of if this is bothering you, if you want to remedy this situation in your life, you're having experiences you don't want to have, one is just to ignore it completely because it can kind of feed on attention, especially if it is a negative
Right.
entity.
Yeah.
It'll feed on the fear, it'll feed on the attention you give it.
Right.
Right? So 9 times out of 10, if you just ignore it, pretend it's not going on, it'll just
It'll
dissipate.
just dissipate.
Think about if you have an interaction with a human being you don't want. It's the same kind of strategies. If
Right.
someone's harassing you on the street, don't make eye contact,
Yeah,
keep
just keep
walking.
going.
9 times out of 10, that'll do it. They'll move on to someone else.
Right.
If that doesn't work, and if it does feel negative and hostile, next step is confront it. Very much like your Reiki master lawyer friend said, just sit, confront it and say politely if you need to, but
Yeah.
you're not welcome here. Thanks very
Right.
much. Time for you to go.
Right.
9 times out of 10, that'll do it.
Right.
Right? Just addressing the phenomenon directly.
Right.
If you're having escalation or more negative experiences beyond that, then that's when you want your old priest and your young priest and
Right. That's my fear. I'm like,
the
oh
holy
God,
water and
what
well.
point do I need to get somebody else involved? Not my Reiki master, but like,
Yeah, it
that's
sounds like
scary.
it is pretty benign in your
Yeah.
case, and it probably, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just your ancestors kind of keeping an eye and looking out, and maybe you're just sensitive to
Yeah.
being able to see that, whereas most people aren't.
Yeah. I never
So,
really thought about it like that in that sense of the, because the ancestor thing I kind of got, I was like, okay, yeah, I could see that. But even just the people kind of in that limbo state, like that's something I've never even considered or thought about, but I kind of like it does make sense, and it does kind of check some boxes in my mind a little bit about like, oh yeah, I guess they're kind of waiting in this weird like limbo land, not, you know, and then they gravitate towards something that feels normal or feels like, oh, they can see me so few, I'm all good or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Ugh, that's so complicated. Here I am, just trying to not be complicated in my life, you know, and then having this. But yeah, I don't know. Do you see things? Do you have that experience?
No, I mean, Iams had a shadow person experiences now and again, not consistently, but she's had a couple incidents through her life. I've not experienced anything quite like that. But we've definitely had moments in the house, especially when we first moved in, of sometimes I've had that moment of feeling like there's maybe somebody else in the house, or if you're lying in bed, like you feel like someone came in the room and sat on the end of the bed, and you
Oh,
feel it
that
like
feeling.
depress. I could have sworn we lost our dog towards the end of last year, and I could have sworn one morning I felt her jump up on the bed,
Oh,
you know. It could have just been in my mind. I could have been in that hypnagogic kind of halfway between sleep and awake. And a lot of funny stuff happens in that state. I think that's kind of a window area where if you are sensitive, you tend to have more experiences because your brain waves are different and you're perceiving things maybe a little differently than you normally would in waking life. And so maybe that's what's going on with you a lot. If you're
I think
particularly
probably.
sensitive, you're saying it's at night, you
Yes,
know.
always. And it is always in that state of like I've just woken up out of something, boom, there they are, and you know, like that's always when. And that's why for so long I kind of wrote it off as like it must be a dream. But then I'm like, well, but you're not awake when you're dreaming. And then I was like, oh, it could be sleep paralysis, but then I'm not paralyzed because I'm sitting up in my bed with my eyes open and then I get up to go to the bathroom. So yeah, it does always happen in that state, except for that one in Heritage Park where I got touched. Like that was probably one of the most visceral ones. Just
Yeah,
boom,
that
broad
one's a little
daylight.
disturbing. Yeah,
Yeah,
if
that
you
was
feel like
freaky.
somebody reaches out and
Tugs
grabs
on
your
you.
shoulder or something, that would freak me right out.
Because I don't think, I'm like trying to recall, and I probably should have done that more before I came, but like I don't think I've had any like real physical, like boom, you see something like fly across the room or like those huge moments. And it's sometimes hard when things are subtle to like, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, I don't think you want that
I
activity,
don't think I do
right?
either.
So maybe that's good. Maybe your ancestors are looking out for you, and maybe they're preventing anything like that from going on, right?
Yeah,
So,
maybe they're like, we know this girl is sensitive.
yeah,
Protect her.
that's right.
She can't
So
handle
maybe
it.
it's nothing to be too worried about. But really interesting stuff. Really cool story.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, and it's still kind of ongoing, but it was really scary at first, and then it kind of got less scary, especially after we named him. Shout out Honey Pete, wherever you are. But it is one of those things that I'm like, I would love to take a deeper dive, but I think I'm too scared to know the real truth of it all, you
Well,
know?
and like you say, you don't necessarily want to encourage inviting more of it in, right? Because if you don't know for sure what you're dealing with, you don't know for sure. But it sounds like you've got a couple basic tools for how to remedy it. It's less and less disturbing in your life. And maybe you'll find that it'll normalize and kind of fade away on its own.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, you'll have to keep me updated.
I will,
Anything
100%.
new happens, you can always come back.
You bet. Absolutely, I will.
Okay, well, I think we could probably wrap it up there. Do you have any final thoughts or any last shout outs or anything you want to plug or talk about?
I think that's everything. I'm working on a really great music project right now, but I can't say much about it. So if I come back on and I've got more experiences, I'm sure I'll be able to plug it more at that point. But no, I've got everything out on the table, I think.
Great. Great. Well, thanks very much. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, thanks so much, Shelby. That was really great. Really fascinating interview, don't you think?
Yeah, that was an experience.
Yeah. So you just listened to it. I listened to it several times over, and I did refresh my memory because it was a good 3 weeks ago,
Yeah.
3 or 4 weeks ago, but you just heard it this week. How do you think we did?
I thought it was fascinating, and it definitely, it reminds me so much of, other people I've met in my life who have had kind of these encounters with the supernatural, and just how much of it lined up, especially what you were saying about how, when you're having this experience so often, what it is it's, maybe a person that just doesn't even realize they're dead and is just confused and is latching on to someone as it's just, something that's familiar.
Yeah.
Thought what you said about how every person has like maybe up to a dozen entities attached to them at all times. I found that a little unsettling.
Absolutely, it's an unsettling thought. But I mean, and that can be a mixed bag. That could be like we talked about, a group of ancestors that are looking out for your etheric form on another plane, or that could be, malicious influences, or it could be just confused entities that are drawn to something about the living. I don't know.
Yeah. And I can relate to that. I've never seen a ghost in my life. I've had experiences similar to shadow people, sleep paralysis. I've had experiences like that. I've never actually, seen a ghost. But there have been times where I've almost felt a presence, and yeah, I do believe that some of these entities, maybe they're kind of just checking on you. I had a friend, a very close friend of mine, who passed away 5 years ago, and it was a very difficult experience because, I mean, she was, younger than me, like just so young. It's tragic that that happened, and that was a very difficult experience because someone I've known for pretty much, half my life. And we're very close. But there have been times over the past few years where I almost feel like she's watching out for me. I've felt that. Just odd things have happened in my life.
Like little synchronicities or
Yeah,
signs
and
drop in.
I mean, I don't want to get too specific about that. It's a bit personal, but
For sure.
there's been times I've definitely felt that, like she's watching out for me. So I appreciate that. I know she would be a fan of this show. She totally would
Oh,
be.
that's great.
I bet
Yeah,
she's a
that's great.
listener.
I hope so. We need all the help we can get.
Yeah.
I had the thought after the fact. I regretted that you weren't able to be here for the interview. I feel like I needed your brain, to ask some better questions. I regret it after the fact. I feel like I thought it was really interesting her story about naming the one male entity that she kept seeing, Honey Pete.
Yeah, I feel like there's a story behind that name.
Yeah, it occurred to me after the fact that, and I was regretted that I didn't question or dig into that because yeah, it feels like how did you land on Honey Pete? Is Pete maybe a relative they thought it was, that it
Yeah.
could be re representing?
Yeah.
And I thought great strategy. If there's something disrupting your life and you're scared of it, you don't know what it is, to give it kind of a friendly persona to try and take that fear aspect out of it. I think brilliant strategy.
Yeah, just a cutesy name.
Yeah, right? It kind of gets your own emotional attachment to those events under control in a kind of subconscious way. So I thought that was a really cool strategy, and so
Yeah.
that's mostly what I was
I
thinking
mean,
about.
even just giving it a name. There's a very old belief. I don't know.
In fairy folklore and stuff, right?
Yeah,
About the power of names.
I don't know where exactly it originates, but there's many kind of variations on it. Like anything magical or supernatural, if you can give it a name, put it into words, you're taking some of its power away. Name it and claim it, as it
Yeah,
were.
you gain some degree of control over it
Yeah.
by having that power of the name. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. So, but I thought great strategy, and I thought it was a really interesting point in her story where this activity was so disruptive in her life, in her household, that they had to hold a family meeting about it to discuss what was going on and how they were going to deal with it. Because you got to think it's got to have escalated to be pretty disruptive at that point. Like, how often, oh, you live alone, so you don't have family meetings. But when we, I can tell you from my personal household, if we're having a family meeting, something serious is going on, right? If you've got to get everybody in one room to say we need to discuss this.
I live alone now. I used to have roommates many years ago. I've lived alone for a long time, but I remember having roommates and sometimes being like, family meeting. We're having a family meeting right now. The house just nearly burned down. We're having a meeting
Yeah, I
about
bet
it.
it was you every time that called a family meeting, wasn't it?
No. I did call that family meeting.
Okay, the other thing post-interview that stuck out to me that I wanted to go back and look up was the ship she was on, the cruise ship where she met her fiance and had
The
experiences.
sensation.
The sensation, yeah. So I went and looked it up. I searched high and low to find ghost stories about it. I could not.
I also searched for ghost stories. You know, I went on GPT and used its deep research feature, and I was like, find me some tales of the paranormal about this specific cruise ship. And it thought about it for like half an hour.
Yeah.
It came up with
Nothing.
nothing.
Yeah. I found a lot of other ghost stories about other cruise ships and other ships in general that were pretty interesting. Actually, it sent me down this one rabbit hole for a whole evening while I was trying to look into this, and I really want to do some like maritime ghost stories.
Oh, that'd be
'Cause
fun.
I really got interested in I found a couple really cool stories. But the one kind of really interesting, so the sensation is w was with the Carnival Cruise Line. It is now decommissioned and scrapped back in 2020. But the interesting part of its history that I was able to dig up is that it was pressed into service during the 2005 Katrina disaster.
I saw that part too.
So it was providing transport and housing for relief and for survivors and that sort of thing. And so that jumped out at me as a potential source of, because hauntings and poltergeist activity, there's usually some connection to high emotions or traumatic incidences. And I guess the thinking behind that is that those elevated human emotions kind of leave an imprint on objects or places, and that's why you get hauntings. So I thought that was really interesting that there was that piece in its history where it was involved in this massive disaster. Where, what was it? I had the number here. I think it was 1,390 something persons died in the Katrina disaster. So that's a lot of people that might, you know, be newly deceased, not know what's going on, and sticking around, be confused, latching onto places. I don't know. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. But yeah, I couldn't really find anything else on the ship.
No, it's been decommissioned now. I understand. It's been decommissioned for scrap pretty recently. So
Yeah, 2020.
we can never book a cruise,
And do a ghost hunt on it.
and do a ghost hunt
Yeah.
and check for spirits,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
But it did give us the idea of maybe doing another episode.
Yeah.
Hey, are we about to become professional ghost hunters?
I've always wanted to put that on my resume. Paranormal investigator.
Yeah, I think we should. The interview did kind of inspire us to say, yeah, we haven't really touched on ghost and haunting stuff. You know, we do a lot of aliens, we do a lot of AI, we've
Yeah.
done some
Some occult
cryptids,
stuff.
a lot of occult stuff. Yeah, so, but the, yeah, hauntings, we've not really dug too deep into that. So I think we want to maybe put together a little road trip, learn how to be ghost hunters, and check that off our bucket
I've
list.
started researching locations. I got really excited about this. I started researching locations. I've got a short list. We'll talk more about it later.
And did you immediately go out and make an irrational purchase?
I've started putting together some ghost hunting equipment. So I've got this little meter that scans for
A PKG meter?
something like
Like
that. But
that.
it uh scans for, you know, electromagnetic fields. You know, I was scanning your house just before we started recording. I hate to tell you, but all your electrical outlets are haunted.
Yeah, well, it makes
Your
sense.
router is extremely haunted.
Oh, I bet it would be.
The rest of the house looks clean, though.
Okay, great, great. Yeah, and so, okay, the one last thing I'll say about the interview before we wrap things up here. I don't even know where we're at for time, but I was just telling you before we were recording, as I was really kind of struck post-interview, you know, you're doing an interview, you're very in the moment, we're just talking, having a good time. But after we had said our goodbyes, I was in the kitchen and I was, you know, at the kitchen table editing the episode, and Iam came downstairs and we were chatting about the interview. And I had a real moment of just being struck. I really believed her. You know, I really got an impression that she's like 100% genuine. This activity is really going on in her life. And it's like, we're doing a podcast. We're just trying to have fun and find entertaining stories to talk about. But this was a moment of like, oh, this is real, you know? This is these are real life experiences for this person.
Yeah, I definitely believed her too.
So it really kind of impacted me after the fact. I don't know what else to say about that, but yeah,
Things got real.
Things got real all of a sudden, yeah. So for that reason, you know, I just want to thank Shelby again for coming on the show and being willing to talk so openly about your experiences. I know that's not easy for anyone. I mean, when I started the podcast, I was so nervous to do the first episode and talk about my own experiences on those first couple episodes. It's a very vulnerable thing to do.
Absolutely.
So very much appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your story with us. And yeah, we'll leave links to her band in the show notes. She didn't want to plug. It sounds like maybe they've got some upcoming stuff right now. They've just got
Oh, cool.
one single out on Spotify. But it sounds like maybe there's a bigger project in the works. She was kind of shy to announce it at this point in time. But if there is an update at some point, whatever it is, we'll include that in show notes in a future show. But yeah, go check her out on Spotify, follow her, and then you'll know when that news hits. So yeah, I think we can wrap it up there.
All right then.
All right, thanks for joining. I'm feeling good. Got to get another cup of tea in me. I can tell I'm beating this cold already. So next week we'll be back on top and you'll be sick.
Oh, no.
All right. Thanks for joining, everyone. Have a good night and we'll see you next week.